The Jewish feasts are something that we haven't talked about in a while here. During Rosh Hashanah, we did speak with Rabbi Glenn. Rabbi Glenn came on and chatted with us on the day Rosh Hashanah started. But what are the implications of the feasts of the Bible, the feasts of the Old Testament, on you and I as Christians? And should we be celebrating them today? Is there anything that we can learn from them? Is there any significance whatsoever for evangelical Christians who obviously are not Jewish to celebrate the feasts of the Bible and to have some understanding of them? Dr. Sam Nadler is president of Word of Messiah Ministries. He was brought up in an Orthodox Jewish home, and his study of the Old Testament prophecies brought him to Messiah Jesus. He came to faith in Jesus Christ, he's now put together an interesting new DVD study, which you can learn about at feastsofthebible.com. And Dr. Nadler, it's an honor to welcome you here to the Paul Edwards Program.
Shalom, Paul. It's wonderful to be with you.
And peace be upon you as well. It's great to have you here because as a pastor, you know, I myself have often wondered about the significance of these feasts, and particularly now that we've just concluded Rosh Hashanah, what is commonly known as the Feast of Trumpets. What is particularly the significance of that feast, but then the broader picture of how that fits into an understanding of all the feasts?
Well, it's interesting that Rosh Hashanah is a Jewish New Year's, but it actually comes up the first day of the biblical seventh month. And so in order to really understand Rosh Hashanah or the Feast of Trumpets and the other fall festivals, you have to sort of go back away to the beginning of the biblical year, which starts with Passover, because there we see the redemption, the salvation. Built upon that is our full walk with God that is detailed out in the feasts of the Bible. And so we find all these festivals outlining God's plan of redemption for a lost humanity, to the Jew first, but not to the Jew only.
So these feasts, in a very significant way, point to Jesus Christ.
Oh, they're all point. In fact, all Scripture speaks of him, John 5:39. And so these festivals, especially because let's remember the whole plan of God. He said that we want to remember that the Lord Jesus, he is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So the whole plan of redemption is pictured in these festivals, outlined in Leviticus chapter 25. Yeah, very important.
Well, before we go any further with kind of an overview of the feast, tell this audience and tell me, Dr. Nadler, your own story of coming to Messiah. I mean, it's fairly rare, I would think, for an Orthodox Jew as yourself to come to faith in Jesus Christ. What led you to see Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of the Messianic prophecies?
Well, our mission, Word of Messiah Ministries, is trying to make it less rare. We want it to be a pretty normal thing, we hope. But
yes.
In any case, I grew up in a traditional home in New York City, kind of neighborhood that had a synagogue on every block. But I had a lot of questions. You see, the only family that we have is the family that escaped Europe prior to World War II, prior to the Holocaust. The rest were wiped out by the Nazis. And so I had a lot of questions, even as a young child. I was only 10, 11, 12 years old, and these questions about how can there be a good God who would allow such evil to go on, and especially the God of Israel. My rabbi really was searching for answers himself, so it was a difficult situation for the Jewish community. I went through with bar mitzvah. That's like a confirmation ceremony at the age of 13. I went through a bar mitzvah to honor my family, but after bar mitzvah, the young person is given the opportunity to decide just how religious they wish to be, and I decided not at all. So I went from being religious to being rebellious. Mm. And when I came back from serving our country in Vietnam, I was living in the Promised Land. By the way, that's California, just to let you know. But broken promises as they are. But
yes.
In any case, it was there that someone had the nerve to tell me that I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Hmm.
I didn't know whether to laugh or cry, Paul. I mean, you know what it sounded like to me? because as a Jewish man, I heard that a different way, because I thought of the Nazis as Christians. Mm. I mean, after all, they were baptized as babies, and the State Church of Germany rubber-stamped all of Hitler's programs. So when this person asked me to believe in Jesus Christ, I thought it was like asking me to go to the side of the enemy. So I said every nasty thing I could think of to this person to try to show him what for. But this individual said, you'll never be happy until you come to know Jesus as your Savior. Well, Paul, I didn't realize it, but a seed was planted in my soul, a seed of the gospel. And I would want our listeners to understand, you know, your friends, your neighbors who don't know the Lord, it's hard to shove a tree down someone's throat, but you can plant the seed, a little word in season.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't realize it. I went along my business. But then many, many months later, almost a year later, I wrote that person a note. And I said, thank you for letting me laugh at you, because now I love him too. I had come to personal faith in Jesus because someone had the nerve, the chutzpah, to plant a seed in someone who didn't look like a candidate for salvation. Mm.
So if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, I would suppose you got into the scriptures, and it was the scriptures themselves that revealed Christ to you, just as he said.
There were some believers who tried showing me Isaiah chapter 53. Well, that's all I needed, because I ended up studying the scriptures just to refute them. But the more I studied the prophecies, the more I came to realize it's all true. Then I remember praying, asking God for a more convenient Messiah. But the more I considered it, the more I looked into it, the more I became convinced that Jesus is our Messiah, indeed the Savior of the world.
Is the issue that most Jewish people today are not prepared for the suffering servant aspect of the Messiah?
Yeah, that's certainly not taught. Isaiah 53 is traditionally taught that it refers to Israel, but in fact, the text itself doesn't permit that interpretation. And when we look at the text, we realize we're looking at one who did no sins, but suffered for the sins of me, my people, as it says there. And so, yeah, it's quite clear. But most Jewish people in the greater Jewish community, they do not accept the suffering servant as we commonly understand it from the New Testament point of view. But we also want to understand that the reason most Jewish people do not consider Jesus at all as the Messiah is because of the anti-Semitism throughout history. All the anti-Semitism that was done, quote-unquote, in Jesus' name. And so in many cases, our Messiah has gotten a bad name from people who try to use religion to justify their immorality.
Dr. Sam Nadler, my guest, president of Word of Messiah Ministries. You can visit that website, simply wordofmessiah.org. He's put together a new DVD study that would be great for your church's Sunday school or small group on the Feast of the Bible. That website is www.feastsofthebible.com. And I would assume, Dr. Nadler, that as an Orthodox Jew prior to coming to Christ, you were celebrating these feasts, and if so, how does the context change for you from celebrating these feasts as an Orthodox Jew versus as a Messianic believer now?
Well, growing up, of course, we observed all the festivals, but we never considered it referring to Jesus. Of course, we never considered such a matter. After I came to faith in the Messiah, I was shocked. I was absolutely stunned by how the New Testament is replete, just complete with all this detail about the festivals. After all, Jesus is the Lamb of God, our Passover Lamb. All the way through the calendar year, the biblical calendar regarding these festivals, the information is strewn throughout the New Testament. I was just surprised, stunned, delighted, of course. But you know what really surprised me? Paul, was the fact of how many Christians were unaware of these festivals, which are the very roots of our faith and the heritage for all of God's people. And so it really was surprising. Now, before I came to faith, We observed it religiously, of course, never pointing to Messiah. But after coming to faith, I realized how Jesus is the fulfillment of it all and how glorious it all is to be able to honor him through these festivals.
Do you, Dr. Nadler, view these feasts as instrumental at all in Bible prophecy? I know that some people will look at these feasts, and there are seven of them, and they will say, mm-hmm. well, three of them or four of them have had their fulfillment. We're waiting on the others to be fulfilled. What role do these feasts play, if any, in Bible prophecy?
Well, I think it's very clear. The scriptures are clear, at least, on this matter, because the plan of redemption was laid out in these festivals. And as you have mentioned, the first four came about on the day that they were supposed to come about. So Passover was fulfilled on Passover, unleavened bread accordingly, and then another feast in the middle of the Passover week is called First Fruits. And that was a holiday that the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:20, he mm-hmm. refers to it saying, Christ, our mm-hmm. first fruits from the dead. And so we see in Passover week, on each of the days that appropriately noted, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. And then, of course, 50 days later, exactly on the day, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the fulfillment of Pentecost. Now, if we see it that way, we might reasonably understand that the other festivals will also be fulfilled in their appropriate season. And so when we come to the fall festivals, the three feasts yet unfulfilled, we find the New Testament referring to them. Let me mention, as you said, the Feast of Trumpets, that has to do with the gathering of the body Messiah. This is what Paul referred to when he said the last trump. When we hear that last trump, we'll be looking for the upper taker, won't we? Mm-hmm. But in any case, that's the gathering of the body of Messiah. And then, of course, the second, right after that, the second fall feast is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And that has to do with the gathering of Israel, restoring Israel to a place of service for God. Even as Paul said in Romans 11:26, and thus all Israel will be saved. And then finally, the finale rally of it all, the culmination of God's redemptive program, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, when all the nations are gathered unto God. You know, Zechariah spoke of it in Zechariah 14:16, and the Lord Jesus spoke of it as well in John 7:8. And so we want to understand that it focuses our attention on the gathering all the nations, because God is very concerned for a lost humanity, and the promise of it all is in the Messiah, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so we see the fulfillment in the fall feast yet to come about.
So when Jesus says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, he says that in Acts 1. Later or earlier in the Gospels, he says, no man knows the day or the hour. And yet, if the Feast of Trumpets coincides with the last trump and the second coming of Messiah, are we making an exegetical leap, Dr. Nadler, to say that the second coming will probably occur in some year in the fall of the year at the Feast of Trumpets?
Yeah, if the Lord Jesus had not said, no man knows the day or the hour, we would have packed our bags for every Rosh Hashanah, every Feast of Trumpets. But the Lord tells us that it may not be the time when we expect, so that might be a surprise for all of us. But yet each of these festivals all points to the culmination of God's program, and therefore the prophetic view is certainly available throughout the Scriptures.
Well, I want to say to the audience, if you're interested in understanding the Jewish roots of Christianity and how the feasts of the Bible relate to us today, go to this website, www.feastsofthebible.com. Feasts, that's plural, feastsofthebible.com. And get this DVD series. It'd be great for your personal study, certainly for your adult Sunday school class, your small group. And it's all put together by one of the foremost experts on the feasts, Dr. Sam Nadler, our guest, who is president of Word of Messiah Ministries. And that website is wordofmessiah.com. Dr. Nadler, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I'm going to have you back to have an extended, more detailed conversation.
I look forward to that, Paul. And shalom, everyone. May the Lord bless you all.